May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 612. In every believer two armies are seen, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. In Christ he is perfect and free from all guilt, yet in himself evils are both seen and felt. 612.
Thank you.
book of Judges, chapter 13, and then part of chapter 15. The book of Judges, chapter 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honour? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, He would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would us at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Chapter 15, commencing at verse 9. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why are ye come up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam, and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast, and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with two new cords, and brought him up from the rock. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men." And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramath-Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore, he called the name thereof En-Hakkari, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. May the Lord bless his word and help David in prayer.
Grant us a right reverence and godly fear as we would come to thy footstool now. Lord, thou art thrice holy, and we are poor sinful worms of the earth that can deserve nothing good. No, we would fall before thee and confess our utter sinfulness and beg of thee, Lord, to look upon us in great mercy. Oh, for grace to examine ourselves and to confess before thee, we are all unrighteousness, but our only hope is that thou hast in store for us the great blessing of eternal life, the free gift, unmerited, of thy sovereign favour. Lord, wilt thou shower down upon us the blessings of eternal life, who have to put our mouths in the dust and confess, unworthy, Lord, unworthy. And can it be that thou hast such a great favour for us, and wilt thou draw us to the mercy seat, there to continue pleading, not for our sakes, but for thy sake, Lord, wilt thou do it? Wilt thou in mercy draw near? Speak to our souls this day. Wilt thou let down some handfuls of purpose? Wilt thou lay upon us a sackful of grain, of precious wheat, of precious corn, that we may bear it away, that it may be food for our souls? Oh, to hear the word of life this day. Lord, we meet in thy courts here below, but oh, do make it a Sabbath day, the whole day, a day of separation from the world, a day when our hearts are heaven-bound, when our whole desire is to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. Oh, what sinfulness within, what grace is in thee. Oh, may we know it, Lord. Speak to our souls, teach us the way of life, lead us by thy Spirit. Oh, do set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. A vast eternity lies before us each, and not one of us can say how nigh. We know, however long it may be, it will be but a short time, and we must stand before thy holy judgment seat. And how shall we stand then? Lord, will it be to hear those awful words, "Depart from me, I never knew you," to depart into everlasting burnings, to endure the wrath of God to an endless eternity? Oh Lord, will it be in thy great mercy to hear those blessed words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." O Lord, we long to know that that kingdom has been prepared for us by the dear Saviour, that he came down to earth, that he obeyed the law in all its fullness for us and made it honourable, and Lord, that he suffered the just for the unjust, that he bled and died at Calvary, that he might make full atonement for all our sins. Oh, that we each one might have some token this day that it was for our sins he hung and suffered there. And Lord, that now he has risen and sits on high to make intercession for us. And may our breathings this day be perfumed with his merits and enter into thine ears. And Lord, wilt thou do us good? Wilt thou speak? Wilt thou work amongst us? Wilt thou quicken souls into life? Wilt thou bring those who have no thought of thee and thy ways, and make them to bow at thy command? Lord, wilt thou in mercy prepare each one of us for eternity, and enable us to seek thee in the way which thou hast ordained, making our supplications unto the only one who is able to deliver us from so great a death. O Lord, that we might hear for eternity, as the word is read unto us, and Lord, that which we hope to hear soon, preached by thy servant in former times, Oh, we pray that thou wilt make it effectual in our hearts, that it may be with divine power, that there may be the unction of the Holy One. Oh, Lord, that thou wilt soften our hard, hard hearts and cause us to weep to the praise of the mercy we found. Oh, we do pray, Lord, for each one here, that there may be something that they may take away, that they may beat out that which they have gleaned. We do beg of thee that not one may be left out of the secret in that last great day. Well, we do ask, Lord, that thou wilt remember cases here. Those who have come up begging of thee to speak, begging of thee to show them thy way. Those that have come up begging for a word of direction in the things of providence. Those that have an urgent, pressing need. For, Lord, eternity is a great burden. And my sins, how may I stand in that great day? Lord, remember such. Oh, to apply the balm of thy precious blood. Oh, Lord, may we each have a sight of the Saviour of sinners and the wonders that love has done for those who are wretched, undone, lost, no feeling in themselves as they feel, dead, cast off. Lord, may such be brought nigh by the precious blood of Christ. We do pray specially for our dear young people, with all the temptations that surround them, the wickedness of the world within, that thou wilt keep them in thy fear, that thou wilt begin with them early in their lives. O Lord, thou hast said, they that seek me early shall find me. Do make each one a true seeker after thee, after thy righteousness, that thou wilt open their understandings, that the word, the precious word of thy holy book, the Bible, may be opened unto them, and that thou wilt apply it with divine power. And Lord, do enable us as we read to seek to know the deep that is couched beneath, how that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to our souls. We remember, Lord, also those who are at the other end of life, for whom the time must be short, and they are often weary through old age and infirmity, Lord, and longing for thy presence. And wilt thou come and shine into the hearts of them? And even this day, if they cannot gather with us, may there be a portion for their souls. Lord, thou art able to do it, for it is thy sovereign work alone. And Lord, nothing is impossible unto thee. And we have proved it, Lord. We look back over the time when thou hast appeared, when thou hast in mercy shone into our soul. And now we ask for such a great blessing again, for there is nothing like a sip of the sweet well of Bethlehem, of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might taste it again. We remember also, Lord, those who have returned to us from holidays and from breaks away, and pray that it might please thee to bless them indeed as they return to the house of prayer. And we thank thee for thy mercies to each one in gathering us here. And we specially pray for our dear ones just returned from their marriage. Oh, be with them in their marriage all their lifelong through, and bless them with a living hope in thy mercy. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt direct each one, their steps, and keep them in thy fear. And now, Lord, as we turn to thy word, do remember our brother. Help him in reading. Oh, do make the word light, life and power in our souls. And do bless him in his soul and bless us. We remember also thy servant whom we hope to hear this evening. Oh, grant him a portion, that which thou hast appointed, that he should bring before us to do our souls good. And may there be a rejoicing that thou art yet amongst us, that thou hast not forsaken us, that thou hast appointed that the word should be profitable to our souls, whether for correction or for instruction in righteousness, whether to bless us or whether to cause us to turn again, to seek the living God with weeping and with supplication, to come upon our knees, begging thee to have mercy. Do help us to pray for our nation and all the troubles that are upon us yet. Lord, they seem to grow daily worse and worse. And the persecution that is upon those who profess thy name, the wicked lords. And we wonder where the scene will end. The awful actions of our rulers, contrary to thy holy word. Truly it seems oftentimes they would shut up thy book and shut up the places of prayer if it could be so. But Lord, thou art greater than all. Do preserve to us our privileges, we pray, and undertake for us. And can it please thee that there might yet be a reviving of thy work in our nation, that those who fear thy name may be as the salt of the earth, whose prayers thou wilt hear for our nation, as thou didst say thou wouldst hear the prayer of faithful Abraham. Lord, thou knowest how one is expected to come into our nation, whom we call the man of sin, the Pope of Rome. Lord, so anti all that is according to thy holy word, often called the Antichrist, though we believe there are many Antichrists. Lord, thou knowest, thy people would not have it so. Thy people desire that the truths of the Reformation, so faithfully preached in our land, might yet again go forth with divine power in the hearts of many who as yet will not hear. O Lord, if it can please thee yet, thou canst stop the visit of the Pope. But if not, Lord, may it be a time when the message of truth in thy holy word may sound forth and do good in the hearts of many. Oh, remember us now. We are gathered together, statedly, in thy holy name. May it please thee that thy name may be glorified in our midst this day, that thou wilt work wondrously, and that we may look on and see what the angel of the Lord does. If it might please thee, pardon our iniquities, the sins of our prayers, hear the silent prayers we beg of thee, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 284. When shall all my sorrows end? When my days of mourning cease? When shall I to Christ ascend? Only place of happiness. 284. try and read you a sermon preached by Mr. Coble. And you will find the text in the second portion we read, Judges chapter 15, verse 18. Judges chapter 15, verse 18. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. What a blessed book is the Word of God. We may indeed say of it, as David said of the sword of Goliath, when the priest brought it to him and said, There is no other weapon under mine hand, but this, the sword of Goliath, whom ye slew in the valley of Elah. And he cried out, There is none like that, give it me. Oh, what it brought to his mind in a minute, of the delivering hand, power and mercy of God, to a worm, as he saw and felt he was. So with the blessed book of God, how many times, sinner, hath it run to you and me with cups of consolation, and enabled us at times so to drink that we have forgotten our poverty for a while, and felt that there was none like it. And we have experienced this truth, that while corn made the young men cheerful, the new wine of the kingdom has made the maids to sing. So we have found what it is to suck at these breasts of divine consolation. How many times when we have been at a stand and knew not what to do, the word of God has been as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And has said by its still small yet powerful voice, This is the way, walk ye in it. Thus we have heard the voice behind us, while the word before us has directed our steps. How often has it reproved us for our sin, corrected us for our folly, and made us ashamed of our ways. And it has come, and by its warning voice and reproving word, hedged up our way with thorns, and made us exclaim, How can I do this wickedness and sin against God? What a blessed book, therefore, is the Word of God. In the case of the good man before us, what lessons do we read? What comforts and encouragements flow therefrom? And with what a warning voice does it speak to us? First, in Samson, who uttered the words of my text, what instruction do we receive to encourage us in the work and way of God toward us? It is said that the Lord blessed him, and that the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. So we find that though Samson was loved and blessed of God, he was not always under the heavenly anointing, lively acting of faith, and running out of love to the Almighty. The Spirit of God moved him at times. How often do you and I sink in fear on account of what we feel of the badness of our nature, causing us to cry out, Can ever God dwell here? At times, if anyone should come to us and ask, Where is your faith? We might perhaps say, We do not know. Again, on what is your hope fixed? We cannot say in the feeling of it. What has God ever done for you and wrought in you? Tell us from a feeling experience of it. We have nothing to say in reply. But have you not found this moving at times? Has there been no sorrow for sin at times? No goings forth in faith? And no love to the people and ways of God at times. It is only at times. Sometimes you may have felt such a love to the people of God that you could wipe the dust off their shoes. At other times you could wish they were dead or out of the way sooner than they should trouble you. So at times, now you can feel what it is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be so persuaded he has wrought something in you that you could lay down your life in the sweet assurance he has done something for your soul. At other times you may question, where shall I go when I die? And you feel to have nothing sure or certain. At times perhaps you can read and have a great deal of feeling. At others you may go all through the Gospels and see nothing but the black and white letters. Sometimes I can turn over the leaves and see plenty of texts. At other times I may turn the word over from Monday to Saturday and be unable to find a single text. They that have no changes, fear not God. The child of God often says, changes and war are against me. But the Spirit of the Lord moves him at times. If the Spirit of the Lord does not move him at times, he does not move. Cannot you see? I can. I can see that I know something of what this moving is. I know too when it is withdrawn, for then I cannot move in any actings of sorrow, faith or love. Now we put our feet down in the footsteps of the flock and say, was this the work of God in Samson? Then we know what this is. What a mercy to have a Bible religion. As in water face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. And Samson's religion in this sense is our religion. I know one thing. If you are like me, it moves us too seldom. We want more of its heavenly motion and incoming, that it may move our hearts more Godward. Oh, that he would ever abide with me in the power of it. Oh, that he would ever be moving in my soul, that I might be moving out in my soul after him, and like Enoch, walk with God. Not only do we find some instruction in the case of a good man before us, to comfort and encourage our hearts, but when we read that the Spirit of God moved him at times in the camp of Dan, we understand that he was not always under this moving power, yet was loved, chosen, and blessed of God. What else do we learn? God, having loved him, he loved him unto the end. And though our soul through many changes goes, his love no variation knows. And did Jesus once upon thee shine? Then Jesus is forever thine. That is the mercy. Though he so stepped aside, though he found and felt and truly proved that in his flesh dwelt no good thing, yet by grace he was saved through faith, and that not of himself. It was the gift of God that no flesh should glory in his presence. How he proved that the love of God was an everlasting love, that many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. How he stands in the book of God, as God holds him up before angels, men and devils, as a brand plucked from the fire. Oh, how hard the devil tried, how sin and the world strove, and yet this little principle, divine grace, eternal love, surmounted it all, and carried the poor creature into the arms of him that loved him, saved him, and washed him from sin in his own blood. How he could sing as he entered into heaven's gates, glory, honour and power be unto God and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. How lovingly he cast his crown at the feet of the Son of God, saying, "Not unto me, O Lord, but unto thy name be the honour and glory," putting the crown on the right head. The scripture tells us, when speaking of those that got to heaven and how they got there, Samson and Jephthah, as well as Samuel, David and Paul, by faith they were saved. And it is said, "Of whom the world was not worthy, though it carried them away, it says they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, for they sought a city whose builder and maker is God. As there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath." Now what an encouragement is this case before us. The Spirit of God having moved you at times and encouraged you that there is some good thing in your heart towards the Lord God of Israel, and you dare not say there's not. As this is the case, you will come to your grave in peace. Sin cannot ruin you, the devil cannot damn you, and the world will not prevail over you. Grace will complete what grace begins. What a mercy of all mercies, we cannot be lost. We must be saved, because God is of one mind, and none can turn him. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Therefore it is written, "God is love, and therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." What else does our text teach us? What a warning voice has the man before us. Oh my friends, how he stands in the book of God and seems to say, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall," as if he would speak to you and me. See how I was blessed of God. Look at what God did for me. Made me stronger than all men. Enabled me to accomplish such victories. Yet, how sin weakened me and crumbled me and humbled me. Where do you find a man in all the book of God so mighty and strong as I? And where do you find another on account of his sin that is more degraded and humbled than I? Look at the mighty Samson that could slay thousands with the jawbone of an ass. Then look at me as led by a lad to the pillars on which the house is built. What does this say to you and me? But as I just expressed it, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Again, what does it say? "O thou hideous monster sin, and hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." It does indeed. In what a warning voice Samson speaks to us, telling us what sport he became to the Philistines. What a byword and reproach will sin bring upon a man. Though God everlastingly will save his people and bring them all to heaven, yet if they forsake my ways and walk not in my commandments to do them, then I will visit their sins with a rod. Who knows how heavy that rod will be? Who knows how long it may lay upon us? Yet will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. How deep these may cut, how severe they may be, how they may bring us, as they did Samson, down to the grave in sighing, groaning and bitterness, though at last he breaks forth to sing of that grace that brought him triumphantly through them all. Ah, my friends, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope, and likewise, that we might take warning from those who went before, that we might see what an evil thing it is to sin against God. Oh, that we could walk more in accordance with what the Son of God commanded. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Oh, that that prayer which the Son of God taught his disciples might be ours in the substance of it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God grant that it may be, that you may not be stripped as Samson was, but when we attempt to go after the world, may we heed the warning, break us ahead, that when tempted to pride and covetousness, we may hear as though spoken to us, Samson, Samson, thy locks are shaven, and thou art brought to the prison to grind. And so may we have to bless God for the word he has recorded. How we can see the goodness of God, not only in recording the graces of his people, but likewise in telling us of their failings and infirmities. Suppose we had nothing before us but the great doings of Solomon, the wonderful exploits of Samson, the good deeds of Paul, we should be ready to say, oh, we cannot stand. But when we turn to the Word of God and see the two natures at work, see flesh and spirit, grace and sin, how at times it brings us to thank God and take courage. Not that we bless God for their infirmities, but we are thankful to God for recording them. Who knows, though there is so much evil in us, but that this little grace will bring us to heaven, and we shall come to our grave in peace. We find these things, and many more, flow out to us concerning the man who uttered the words of our text. We find the Lord had appeared for him in a wonderful way against the Philistines. With the jawbone of an ass, said Samson, have I slain 1,000 men. Then he cast the jawbone from him. Then follow the words of my text, and he was sore athirst. God's people know what this sore thirst is in a spiritual sense. They find what thirst is when the Blessed Spirit makes them see what they are as sinners. Now a man never thirsts for God till he is brought to it by the Holy Ghost. Who will show me any good? And he drinks in pleasure as the thirsty ox drinks in water. But when the Holy Ghost convinces a sinner of his sin, it dries up all his moisture. Now he knows something about this scripture. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. If you walk into our fields now, look at the want of moisture and how the grass is withered because the sun hath lighted on it, and the heat of it has drawn up the moisture from the ground, and how the flower withereth and faileth. So it is with the sinner. All his moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Now what a cry there is in his heart for the pardon of sin, for the felt love of God, for an application of cleansing blood. Now this comes out of his heart. Say to my soul, I am thy salvation. Now what a cry there is in his heart. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I am as persuaded of this one thing as I am that the book of God is true. If the Blessed Spirit has fulfilled this scripture in your heart, the fading flower of human merit and creature power has been cut down and faded away, and there is a cry in your heart for the living God, his Christ, his love and blood. And as the thirsty ox longs for the water, so does your soul for the living God. My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Do you know anything of this? If you do, God says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. What is said of the Son of God? Now you will see his work and suitability. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. The thirsty ground never so opened its mouth for the rain as the soul does for God. To have your sins pardoned, to feel his cleansing blood in your conscience, his love that is better than wine in your heart. This is what your soul thirsts after. It does indeed. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys to give drink to my people, my chosen. Rivers, fountains, because these poor things shall have something to satisfy their hearts. I will satisfy every longing soul and will replenish every sorrowful one, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. Poor thirsty soul, if there is any love in God's heart for thee, if there is any preciousness in the anointing of the Blessed Spirit, you shall have it. I will satisfy the longing soul. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Look at the words before us. What did God do for this man Samson? He opened a stream in the very jawbone. Sooner all nature shall change than one of God's promises fail. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Thirsty soul, longing soul, God will open a way in the wilderness. You shall be able to say, this is my God, and I have waited for him, and now he has become my salvation. You will never die for thirst, nor be damned for your sin. Now you have come into this scripture. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. What else does it do? Why, it makes you cry unto the Lord in your trouble. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Then what followed? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. These are the poor things that were thirsty in the wilderness. See how they sing and are glad. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. What has he done? He has opened rivers in the wilderness and fountains in the desert to give drink to his people, his chosen. Do you not remember how it is said to the honour of Barzillai, when David and his men were driven into the wilderness and had nothing to eat or drink, that he said to his men, let us bring forth bread and cheese, butter, lentils and milk for the people, for they are hungry and thirsty in the wilderness. Do you think then the blessed Son of God will not hear the cry of the needy? He has more compassion than all the Barzillais in the world. For what of human kindness Barzillai had, God gave it him. Though you may be feeling what a dry, barren creature you are, you shall yet have to sing. You shall drink of the brook by the way, and the Son of God will give you to feel this truth in your thirsty soul. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And you will sing this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. What for? who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. For all things you will drink to the joy of your heart. My servants shall drink, says God, while others shall be thirsty. I will tell you that you might never thirst eternally. The Son of God cried out, I thirst. And with his dying breath, in putting away sin by the sacrifice of himself, he cried out, it is finished, and opened up such a stream of love, mercy and consolation to poor sinners, that it is written, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And of those who are thus favoured, it is said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive, they shall have it. That it should be so, hear him cry, I thirst. And poor thing, what made him thirst? Drinking up all the condemnation and curse that was due to your sins, that you might never cry out in hell for a drop of water to cool your burning tongue. You will never die for want of it. He opened up a way in his bleeding side, hands and feet, whereby every thirsty soul, under the influence of the Blessed Spirit, might feel life through his death, and peace through his blood, and forget their poverty, and remember their misery no more for a while. God's people know what it is to thirst, as I have no doubt some of you do. And God has brought you by faith to his dear Son that you have drunk, and it has made your heart rejoice, and you know what it is to sing as the Son of God says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And we have believed, and we thought we should never thirst again. But what have we lived to prove? That all our springs are in him. There are two things most of God's people find in their hearts, and this produces a thirst. I find to the present moment, from the time God first blessed my soul, and I expect to find till my dissolution, there are such fears springing up in my heart at times about the reality of my religion and about the stability of it. Am I united to Christ? Shall I hold out to the end? What would the child of God give to be fully satisfied on these points? What would he not do? He would do anything to be assured of it. He would endure anything to get full satisfaction that it is the work of God in his heart, that he is really united to Christ, and that he shall endure to the end. God helps, assures and comforts him. Down he goes again. So I find it. God makes him know by this, the lame take the prey. The past experience of God's loving kindness will not do as he comes into fresh straits. And for the want of this, as there is nothing coming in his heart for 2 or 3 months together, he gets so thirsty. He comes here, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it. What does the scripture say? See how it fits. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. That it is. This poor man is a thirsty soul, and it is good news for God to drop something into his heart. Do confirm thy work in my heart, is his cry. Do give me another token. My friends, I am persuaded that the thirsty soul never drank a draught of water literally more deliciously than this thirsty soul when God drops in his word, I have loved thee, I am with thee. When he speaks to him under the ministry of the word, or when he is in prayer, and the soul exclaims, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey or the honeycomb." He feels in another sense, "I have only tasted a little of the honey, and how mine eyes are enlightened." When the poor woman came after the Son of God, and he was gone from the sepulchre, yet there she was, weeping and seeking. He will open something for these. He will make them spring up as willows by the watercourses. So when he said to her, "Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him." She supposed he must know whom she wanted. So we sometimes speak to mere professors of what we have felt and known, and they understand no more about it than if we were talking Arabic, and they go away thinking we were fanatics. So with this poor woman, she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." He said unto her, "Mary." That's enough. One word from the blessed Son of God will do it, "My Lord and my God." Oh, to hear his sweet voice, if he will but put his hand in by the hole of the door. No words can set forth, nor language describe the blessedness that attends his voice to the poor, thirsty, longing soul. How he comes and opens up these springs to their souls and satisfies their longing hearts. So he drops these words, which are as good news from a far country. He was sore athirst. These know what it is to be sore athirst. They are dried up in their feelings at times through the power of the devil. When he shoots his arrows, they are called fiery darts. If Satan cannot conquer you and me, he will trouble us. Sometimes he will come and throw in infidel thoughts, ungodly motions into our souls, which set us all in confusion in a minute, just like throwing a lighted match upon a dry thatch. The poet says of the Son of God, "He knows what sore temptation means, for he has felt the same." We have, therefore, a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. So, when faith is stirred up, how the soul wants to believe to the joy of his heart, to feel that he has a life within him that can never die. How the blessed Spirit at times will move upon his heart. Then how the poor thing will sing in the ways of the Lord and shout in his soul from the tops of the mountains. His soul is so strengthened and his heart so confirmed that he is like a new creature. The more he drinks, the more he thirsts, the more he enjoys, the more he longs for. You can see this is a truth. Paul was taken up to the third heavens and heard things that no one else ever did. So he cried out, "That I may know him." If you are favoured much in reading God's word, it keeps your soul alive, and you feel as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. So he comes here. Though God opens rivers to him in high places again and again, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Let God bless him two or three times a day with love shed abroad in his soul. And one should come and say to him, "Now I think you are satisfied. God does you good all the day long." Yet the man would say, "Though I bless God for it, it is like a thimbleful to me. I want the Holy Ghost to be so felt and enjoyed in my heart that I may have heaven begun in my soul. And the man says, I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. But I feel I never shall be satisfied till I bask in his smiles and swim in his love. He is just in that sense what Laban told Jacob when he stole away with his wives and goods, and Laban overtook him and accused him that his heart sore longed after his father's house. You need not have stolen away, but have given us a feast before you went. So with the child of God, he longs for his father's house, where the wicked cease from trembling, and where the weary are at rest, where he may see his face and never, never sin, but from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in. And poor thirsty soul, if this is thy desire, thy cry and prayer, thou shalt be satisfied. For he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. And sure am I, by the blessed word of God, as God opened the jaw for the supply of Samson, his poor servant, so will he satisfy thee and bring thee to sing in the height of Zion for joy of heart, where thou shalt never have to sigh any more. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £640, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach this evening and on Tuesday evening, and Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 778. Though straight be the way, with dangers beset, and we on the way are no farther yet, our good guide and saviour has helped us thus far, and 'tis by his favour we are what we are. Hymn 778.
sons.
Lord, who bless those things which attended, Lord, they may bear fruit in days to come. Do come up, my servants, faith in this city. Lord, we do cry without help him. Lord, do grant my bless. Give him that to bring good fruits. Do grant my bless. Lord, may there be something for which it's hard to do. Lord, do grant that my spirit may move the palms. Here's a prayer. Lord, do grant my bless. Lord, who thank me for bringing back those who have been on. Lord, remember those who are waiting.